This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Allahu akbar, Allahu akbar. Allahu akbar, Allahu akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha أشهد أن محمدًا رسول الله أشهد أن محمدًا رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن سار على نهجه ومستن بسنته إلى يوم الدين أما بعد فاتقوا الله أيها الأحباب فقد أمرنا سبحانه وتعالى في تنزيله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون ثم أما بعد. My brothers and sisters, on this blessed day and hour of Yawm al-Jum'ah, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His mercy and His acceptance. Allahumma ameen. For our brothers and sisters that are suffering all across the globe, may Allah azza wa jal give them thabat and firmness in their faith and iman. Bless them and all of us with patience and strength and reunite all of us together in Jannatul Firdaus al-A'la. Allahumma ameen. Ayyuhal ahbab. Once there was a time during the Umayyad period under the leadership of the great Umar ibn Abdul Aziz radiallahu an, a fitna broke out. And this fitna began to spread where people started to curse Islam and the Muslims. And they would also focus on certain figures of Islam and curse them as well. It became so widespread. Umar ibn Abdul Aziz radiallahu anhu had to do something to address this problem. So one of the many things that he did is he ordered that every Jum'ah a verse is to be recited. And until this day, that verse is recited in khutbahs all across the world. We've all heard this verse. It is a verse that Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said, it is the most comprehensive verse on morality in the entire Quran. It is a verse that our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was approached by critics of Islam, leaders of other tribes, they would come to him and say, what is this Islam you keep preaching? Others would say, tell me what the Quran is. Summarize it to me. What is this Quran all about? And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would recite this one verse. All of the brothers and sisters listening to this, if you are involved in da'wah and engaging with non-Muslims, whether that be questions and answers or simply trying to propagate our religion, very often you use verses that are common. You will select verses from Surah An-Nahl, you will select verses from other surahs, Surah Yusuf and so on, that call to the oneness of Allah. Add this verse to that list. Verse number 90 in Surah An-Nahl. Listen to it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ وَإِيْتَاءِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى وَيَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ وَالْبَغِي يَعِذُكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ. This verse, when you hear it, most if not all of you are like, yeah, I hear that verse. If you listen to khutbahs in Mecca and Medina, you hear this verse. Khatibs all recite this verse before and after the khutbah. This was instituted, or it began with Umar ibn Abdul Aziz radiallahu anhu. Today, I want to share a reminder for me and you to try to understand what this verse is all about. What is it really saying? Why did Umar ibn Abdul Aziz radiallahu anhu choose that verse? What is it about it that it became so widespread and it also became part of the list of verses to call the world to this religion? So to begin, you need to go back one verse, verse 89. In that verse, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَنَزَّلْنَا عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابَ تِبْيَانًا لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ. Allah says that He sent down this book, meaning the Quran, that it was a source of clarity for everything. تِبْيَانًا لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ. Every single thing. It's amazing when Quran does that. It doesn't specify a thing. It says everything. So whether it be on morality or any other issues in life, if you want the answer or direction or guidance from Allah, the Quran will give it to you. But here's what's interesting. The next verse is this verse. Allah begins and He tells us, subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ. Allah commands. This is unusual. Because when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us to do things, we're used to, ya ayyuha nas. We're used to, ya ayyuha allatheena amanu. Not in Allah ya'mur. Indeed, Allah commands. Why does this happen? To understand this, you have to go to a verse that is similar. So in Surah An-Nisa, Allah also uses a similar way to command. And He says, in Allah ya'murukum. And to أَدُّ الْأَمَانَاتِ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهَا. Surah An-Nisa, Allah started the verse a similar way. And He says that Allah has commanded all of you that you order and you give responsibilities. In that ayah, it's called amana, trust. You give it to the people who are qualified. You know what that verse is talking about? It's talking about leaders. It's talking about administration. Sometimes what happens is if you know the right person or their family or some friends or something, you want them to be part of the administration, even if they're not qualified. I know them. They should be part of it. Allah says, don't do this. I order you to make sure you give the people who deserve those positions, those positions. Surah An-Nahl, Allah says, "Inna Allaha ya'mur." I order you, stop everything else and focus on this one thing. Now Allah is going to command three things and prohibit three things. Listen to them. Number one, "Inna Allaha ya'muru bil 'adl." Adl literally means I order you to be just. Justice. There are several words in the Quran for justice. Adlun is the most generic term. It applies to everyone. That doesn't matter your background, your religion, your age, your status, what position you hold, doesn't matter. Personal life, private life, doesn't matter. Allah says, I order you to be just. You want to know how you appreciate this first point? There is a verse in Surah Al-Ma'idah. It's a long verse. There's a part of it I will share with you where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَلَا يَجْرِيمَنَّكُمْ شَنَآنُ قَوْمٍ عَلَىٰ أَلَّا تَعْدِلُ. Allah tells us, don't ever allow your hatred, your feelings to cause you to be unjust. اِعْدِلُوا هُوَ أَقْرَبُ لِلتَّقْوَى. Be just because that's the thing that is closest to taqwa. So Allah is literally telling us, you know, sometimes you might have an opinion about someone. Sometimes you just may not like them for whatever reason, major or trivial. I just don't like you. What happens often is that that person, those feelings and that hatred causes them to treat that person differently. Allah says, don't ever allow your feelings to disrupt or distract yourself when it's time to be just, because the result of that is you'll be unjust, and then it'll start to compromise your taqwa. It'll start to shave away a bit of your own taqwa, which is really interesting. Usually the people who do that, they think that the person they are unjust to is wrong, not realizing that the one who is doing the injustice is actually the one in the wrong. May Allah Azza wa Jal keep us close to Him. Allahumma ameen. So Allah tells us, in Allaha ya'muru bil adl. Number two, wal ihsan. Ihsan is a term we always hear. Most, if not all of us, we know the famous hadith. Our Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, when he was asked, what is ihsan? What did he say? That you worship Allah as though you see Him, even if though you cannot see Him, He sees you. That's great. That is a fantastic hadith. You know what the problem with this is? Lots of Muslims, unfortunately, don't understand what that means. With or without the hadith, can you see Allah? No. So what is the hadith focused on? What is the Prophet ﷺ teaching us about ihsan? The great scholar, Ibn Sirin, rahimahullah, the great tabi'ah, once said, this verse can be interpreted in a number of different ways. Listen to his approach linguistically about these two words, adlun and ihsan. He says, when it comes to being just, this ayah highlights, you are just in your private life and in your public life, they are both equal. But when it comes to ihsan, your private life is better than your public life. Think about it. If your private life between you and Allah shines brighter than your public life, you are now starting to taste the sweetness of ihsan. As if you can see Allah and it's just you alone on earth. That hadith leans us to think more about our alone time. When you are out of the public eyes, what your life looks like. May Allah Azza wa Jal give us strength. This is ihsan. Number three. Al-adl wal-ihsan. Number three. Wa ita'i dhil-qurba. And that you give to those who are closest to you, meaning your relatives, your family, your parents, your children, your siblings, and so on. What are you giving? You are giving the best of yourself. You know, we've said it over and over in other khutbas and talks that the Prophet ﷺ told us the best of us are those who are best to our families. And sometimes some Muslims switch the hadith around and they give the worst to their families and the best to the public. This part of the ayah, Allah reminds us, and the example I want to share with you is the famous example of the cousin of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, Mistah. Mistah made a mistake. He was a really good man. He was very poor. Mistah relied on Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu to give him a stipend, to help him out every single month, just to get by. When the fitna broke out about Aisha radiallahu anha, obviously the daughter of Abu Bakr, Mistah got caught up in the rumor. So when he heard what people were saying about Aisha radiallahu anha, he said, how could she have done such a thing? Now I want you to pause. And those who need to reflect, just take a moment and reflect. This happens in families all the time. Sometimes family members get caught up in drama, get caught up in the rumors, and it causes a fallout between one family member and another. Sometimes very often you will meet families like, yeah, that's my uncle, that's my cousin. We grew up together. We haven't spoken 40 years. We haven't spoken 50 years. Mistah makes a mistake. You know what Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu does? He says, I'm not going to give him any money anymore. How dare he get caught up in this rumor? You know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does? Reveals a verse in Surah An-Nur. وَلَا يَأْتَلِ أُولُو الْفَضْلِ مِنْكُمْ مَسَّعَةِ وَالسَّعَةِ Allah Azza wa Jal tells him, it's not befitting of somebody of your status, somebody who has this virtue like you, to cut off somebody who is reliant upon you for help, for assistance. Don't do that. وَلْيَعْفُوا وَلْيَصْفَحُوا Allah Azza wa Jal tells us, pardon him, turn a new page, forgive and forget and move on. That's Allah's instruction and order to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, to all of us. When there's family problems, the first thing you have to try and do is try to forgive and pardon. That's the first thing, especially when it's not a major problem. If it's a major issue, talk about it, discuss it, your family, move on. Then Allah continues. And here are the three things that Allah prohibits. وَيَنْهَا عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ وَالْبَغِي And Allah has prohibited. Here is the beauty about Arabic. The ayah uses a word, yanha. Yanha comes from naha or nihaya. Nihaya literally means the end, the finish line. You know, you'll say, hadhihi nihaya, this is the finish line. Meaning there is nothing else that comes after that. So what is Allah really saying to you and I? These next three things, I want you to be done with them. Finish with them. Number one is fahsha. Fahsha. A good way to understand fahsha is shameful behavior. Whether it be with the tongue, shameful thoughts, ideas, or whether it be with actions, whether it be with any other forms, anything that is looked down upon and considered to be inappropriate or shameful for a Muslim, Allah says, be done with it. You know, there's a culture these days. Sounds like this, where some validate themselves of the way they want to talk or act, no matter who it offends. It's just the way I am. Stop being so sensitive. That's the kind of thing we hear from these days. It's just the way I am. If they don't like me, too bad for them. No. Unfortunate for you, not them. Because what does Allah say? If the way you speak or the way you act or the things you say and how you say it offends people, Allah says, stop doing that. That's a shameful behavior. That's called fahsha. Some of the ulama went deeper. They said that fahsha usually reaches its peak in the private life. So what about the public life? That's the next one. وَيَنْهَا عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ Munkar is the same kind of shameful behavior, only this time it's become public. Now the person feels no shame whatsoever. This is who I am at home. This is who I am outside, inside. This is how I am with my family. I don't care what anybody thinks of me. That's called munkar. We have to ask always and forever, we ask Allah Azza wa Jalla protect us. Because when a person reaches that phase or that stage of munkar, it's almost impossible for them to see something's not right. Everybody is pointing out, why do you talk like that? Why did you act like that? Why did you snap so quickly? Why did you use those words? I use those words all the time. This is the way that I act. It's almost impossible to get through to them. May Allah Azza wa Jal help us and them. Allahumma ameen. وَيَنْهَا عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ وَالْبَغْيِ بَغْيٌ is the last one. That's what we conclude with in the second part of the khutbah. My brothers and sisters, there is a reason why the world and all the khutbah, the preachers and the sermons are all reciting this one verse. There is a reason why. Some of those reasons we know. This is a priority verse for all of us. This is a verse every single one of us as believers must never forget. If you haven't memorized it, fine. But at least you know one verse of the most comprehensive on the subject of morality. Allah has chosen that it be a constant weekly reminder for the weekly ummah meeting that we have. We should hear it, think about it, but more importantly, apply it. We pray Allah Azza wa Jal allow all that is being reminded to us today to be something that uplifts us and something that is not against us. Allahumma ameen. Aqulu ma tasma'un wa astaghfiru Allah li wa lakum wa risa'il muslimin min kulli dhanb. Astaghfiru innahu huwal ghafurur rahim. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله عليه أفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم أما بعد Brothers and sisters, the last one والبغي بغي comes from the word بغات بغات is the opposite of عدل It's when you take rights away from people When you take rights away from them And I should add, it's taken away from them wrongfully. They're being forced to act and do certain things that only they are and others aren't. They were not guilty of crossing any boundaries, breaking any rules. Bughat, just cause. That's called baghi. Allah says, be done with it. And in conclusion, يَعِذُكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ is actually one of my favorite parts of the entire verse, is how it concludes. Allah says, يَعِذُكُمْ The Arabic students, there are two ways that Allah reminds us of dhikr. Allah will first say very often that He will remind us, and the word used is dhikr, yadhkurun or yadhakkarun. Allah will give us reminders. The other one is ya'idhukum or maw'idha, which also means reminder. What's the difference between the two? One is generic, one on the other hand, there's an element of desperation. And it's the kind of reminder that Allah wants you to take for the rest of your life. Dhikr, take it and be reminded, at least now or today. You might forget it tomorrow, but khayr inshallah, more azkar will come to you. But maw'idha, ya'idhukum. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to, it's as if He's saying, I really want you to take the lessons in this one verse. You do that, then inshallah ta'ala, your akhlaq and your etiquettes will be blessed Everything you say and do in your private life and public life, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, will be a source of elevation, of honor in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya'idhukum la'allakum tadhakkarun. And then it concludes, and this is what I leave you with, insha'Allah ta'ala, la'allakum tadhakkarun. That perhaps maybe you might take the time, insha'Allah ta'ala, as you leave here, just to think about it, just to reflect. Tadhakkarun. Even if it's just a brief moment. Just think about in Allah ya'muru bil adl wal ihsan wa ita'i dhil qurba. If I'm struggling with one or all of these, how do I fix that? Wa yanha 'anil fahsha'i wal munkari wal baghi. If I got one or all of these problems, how do I fix that? You do that inshaAllah ta'ala, the message arrives bi-idhnillah. I pray Allah Azza wa Jalla keep us close to Him, keep us close to the Qur'an, the teachings of the Qur'an, and allow every one of these reminders we hear each and every time, let it continue to uplift us in a way that our Creator is pleased with. Allahumma ameen. We send peace and blessings to our Rasul, salawatu rabbi wa salamuhu alayhi, kama amarana subhanahu wa ta'ala fi tanzili, inna allaha wa malaikatahu yusallun ala nabi, ya ayyuhallazina amanu, sallu alayhi wa sallam. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم اغفر للمسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم والأموات إنك قريب سميع مجيب الدعوات اللهم إننا نسألك الجنة وما قرب إليها من قول أو عمل ونعوذ بك من النار وما قرب إليها من قول أو عمل اللهم إننا نسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون